Hey everyone, welcome to our Pearlside Small Group Leaders podcast, where we help you as you lead. I'm so excited to start our new series, Ohana Matters, and I've got Pastor Billy with us today to launch us into our first small group of the series.
Yeah, thank you. Great to have you guys joining us again. You know, we planned this series months ago, but we realized, you know, in times of crisis, we're reminded of how important families are.
Yes, right? Absolutely.
And how important our families matter. And so all the more, I think it's important that we enter into this conversation now with all the crises going on in Hawaii and Maui and the world, because we're reminded of what's really important. It's our families. And how do we build godly families that can withstand the challenges and the crisis of life, but also that can thrive so we can help other people.
That's right.
To see the love of God in the midst of whatever crisis they may be facing. And so I think this is going to be a very important series for us because, you know, like they say, when you get on an airplane, you got to put your oxygen mask on first so that you can help somebody else. But we have to put the oxygen mask on our families to make sure that we're thriving so that we can help other people. And that's really the goal. So I want to highlight just a few principles or points here from the discussion guide. And as we begin, first of all, is that the Bible teaches us that families are designed to thrive when God is at the center.
Yeah.
You know, one of the challenges I think we have in Hawaii is oftentimes family is the center, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's rather than God at the center of our lives and God at the center of our family, family is the center of our lives and family is at the center of family. Now, don't hear what I'm not saying. I'm not saying family is not important, but what I am saying is that God must be at the center of our families for them to really thrive. And oftentimes we push God to the side so that we can idolize family. And I think that's where we get off track and we overemphasize family to the detriment of what's really most important. So we're designed to thrive with God at the center. When God created mankind, he was at the center of Adam and Eve's relationship. And it was when they kicked him out that trouble began. But God was meant to be at the center, and he's meant to be the center of our lives as individuals, if you're single, and at the center of our families, if we have that. And so with God at the center, we can experience being naked and unashamed, which is the pinnacle of creation in Genesis 2:25. Moses could have described creation in any way he chose, but he decided to describe it as they were naked and unashamed. He could have said Adam and Eve were together and they were super happy.
Right.
And they were super blessed and they were filled with joy. No, he said he described them as naked and unashamed. And I think this is the state that all of us desire to be. Fully known, fully loved, fully accepted. Sadly, we live in families oftentimes where we got to perform. We feel like we're not good enough. We're put down. We're, you know, it's just not a healthy, it's a toxic environment. But we all long for that experience of being known and loved, naked and unashamed. And that can happen when God is at the center. And then sin, however, or rejecting God is what destroys God's design. When Adam and Eve chose to embrace sin and push God out, that's when everything went wrong and death and disease and disaster entered into human existence as a result. But the good news is we repent, Jesus restores our broken relationship with God and with one another. And so, you know, as we engage in this discussion, we really want to call people to return to God, to put him at the center. If we have families, we got to put him at the center of our marriage and our families and our parenting and all of that. And if we're single, because there are many single people in our church, many of you listening, we have to make God the center of our lives now so that he can be the center of our families later on. Don't think that, when I get married, then I'll take this Jesus thing seriously. Like, no, you got to do this now or it's not going to happen later on. And so Jesus at the center, God at the center is really the core of where we're beginning this series today. And so, you know, when we engage the discussion questions, share what God is highlighting to you from the weekend sermon and or the scriptures above. Michelle, any thoughts to launch us off?
Yeah, actually. I just thinking, you know, small groups I'm in, people I'm walking with, and I'm sure you're walking with too as leaders, is there's already a lot of brokenness in families. Maybe you have blended families in your small groups, you have single parents in your small groups, or you're a product of a single parent. So you can get really discouraged, right? When you think, but I don't have that. So we did it wrong. And I've just been telling people, look, it's not about focusing on the past.
Right.
It's about saying, God had a plan, though. Mm-hmm. God had a purpose for family. And now I'm going to put him at the center and move forward to restore it to its original intent. And I want to really believe God to experience that. And that really segues into the next question, too.
Yep.
But giving that space to kind of have people just ask those questions, talk about it. What is their current state, right?
That's a really great point you bring up. We don't want anyone to feel like they failed and it's too late for them.
Right.
Or, I didn't have this, so I'm set back, or I'm, you know. No, that's what I love about God. No matter how messed up you are or how messed up your past, he can make it right.
Absolutely.
And that's why I put in there when we repent or if we repent, because when we turn to God, He can make everything right. brand new again. Right. I mean, you guys, most of you know my story. I didn't grow up in a healthy family with Jesus at the center. He certainly wasn't. And but I decided as a teenager, I'm going to get this right. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do my best at least. I'm definitely not perfect. Nomi knows. But I do my best. And I'm amazed when I look at my family, what God's done, how just in less than one generation,
right.
we see a full restoration of the brokenness. You know what I mean? Like, well, you know, it's amazing. And in less than one generation. So imagine if we hold fast.
Absolutely.
Our lives can be totally different.
Exactly.
So there's always redemption in Christ.
Exactly.
So don't let anyone feel condemned.
Right. Yeah. And I think that second question that we have, what was your experience of family like when growing up? Did it align with God's design? Healthy relationships or not? Explain your answer. I think this is that great space to kind of let them kind of talk, but also make sure we're reframing them back to the truth, right? And saying, but what now? And that's right. going to go into it. Because I think none of us grew up with a perfect godly family. We live in a sinful world. We were we dealt the hand. We dealt, our parents did the best that they could.
Yep.
But like Pastor Billy was saying, you know, when you do put God at the center, it's amazing to see how He not just restores your nuclear family, but it goes beyond, because now, I mean, look at our parents. We never would have thought our parents would be, you know, saved and in the church. And even in my family, like, my parents are thriving now in their relationship with God because they're saved now. And so God does great things. But, you know, it's kind of, I think in Hawaii, we just, like you said earlier, we kind of idolize family a little bit. And so some of those family values have kind of been the screen at which we see biblical, like how we're supposed to live with God. And so they supersede what God says. And this is that time to kind of like, oh, you know, that's how you were as family. You know, that's maybe why it's hard in these areas with
exactly
God.
It's not exactly the way that God would
exactly,
want us to live.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it's a great way to kind of just like unpack like, oh, what, that was like just a cultural worldview, but you know, this is a biblical worldview.
Yeah. And you know, when we start unpacking our past and our families, you know, we can easily start, you know, blaming and like saying, well, it's because of this, my dad, my mom, you know, and just getting on that. And we do need to have space to unpack that. But always remember that we have a choice
right,
now, right? We can't live in the shadow of what was done to us. Yes, we need to talk about it. We need to get healing from it. But a lot of times I hear people using that as an excuse.
Right.
Well, if my parents were better, then I'd be in a better situation. Or if this happened, you know, and we're just living, making excuses. But the reality is, well, what are you going to do with your right now? You know, what are you going to do? Are you going to allow Jesus in and His word to shape you? Because if you will, then you can turn it around for your life and for future generations.
Exactly.
But if you live in that, well, if I had your parents or if I had those parents, you know.
Right.
And no, that's not the issue. The issue is, what are we going to do now to bring God in? And you know, and so, you know, we're looking at Genesis and the Genesis account of how Adam and Eve, you know, screwed it up. And one day I want to meet them and have a conversation.
Well, I mean,
like,
they were deceived. They were deceived,
you know,
to think there was a better way. And I think that's what we get deceived in our culture, that there's a better way. God's withholding something from you. There's an easier path to pleasure.
Happiness.
Right, and happiness. But that's not the goal, right?
And but, you know, the amazing thing is, even after their sin, God comes looking for them in the garden
to restore relationship.
And if they had repented, I think God might have reset the whole thing right there.
Yeah.
But there was no repentance, right? And so you see over and over in Scripture, God giving us a choice,
right?
And what we're going to do with the brokenness and the hand that was dealt. We're going to look at Cain and Abel in a few weeks, and God even comes to Cain. He's like, dude, I know you're kind of mad at your brother. Like, if you do the right thing, you'll be okay here, you know. But if not, sin is knocking at your door, and there's always that choice that He presents to us. So even while we reflect on what was how we were wronged, because all of us were, how things didn't go right in our family of origin, we always have a choice today. And so I want to make sure that we always make that turn when people are processing to point them to, well, what are you going to do now for the road going ahead? So, and then that moves to the third question here. Do you have any broken relationships in your family today? I think almost everyone's going to say yes, or they're kind of not being honest. Anyway,
right.
I didn't want to say lying, you know, but you know. Do you have any broken relationships with your family today? How can repentance and forgiveness help to bring restoration to those relationships?
Yep.
What is God asking you to do in this situation?
Yeah, and I think our groups have been experiencing growth. We've seen a lot of new people coming into our church and into our small groups. So this would be a great time to pre-prep maybe your tripod. Someone you know that maybe has had this story of victory and restoration in their families, and ask them, hey, you know, we're going to talk about this week. I'd like you to prepare to share a little bit. We all know, and we've been saying this over and over, as we come sharing, transparent, being known by our group, it really helps them to take the step to also share. And then they also hear that it's a process, that mm-hmm. that we're not perfect as leaders, that right. our families have had to experience the redemptive power of God. And so coming ready to kind of share that, then pause and yeah. let others share, I think would be a great component of this week's group.
Yeah, if you have people in your group that has testimonies of how God redeemed, get mm-hmm. prep them to share that, because that can give hope to yes, people, obviously. Yes. But I also want to highlight, make sure you break into smaller clusters this week, because otherwise the conversations, you know, we won't. There's not enough mm-hmm. time. Michelle mm-hmm. jokingly said before we started, I wish we had 2 hours for this conversation. You know, so, but if you break into smaller groups, you won't necessarily right. need the 2 hours. So I would say 3 to 4 max. Mm-hmm. And because we want to give time for people to share, and also a safe smaller group where people can unpack
right.
and begin to share that. You know, a large group, people may feel intimidated, and also they don't want to take up all the time. But if there's only 2 other people in the cluster, mm-hmm. they know, okay, there's actually space mm-hmm. and safety for me to share. And, you know, we want people to unpack and be honest mm-hmm. and transparent, feel safe, because mm-hmm. that's where healing happens.
Right.
But also, it's not just a vent session, right? And we always want to make sure we turn it to, well, what is God calling you to do? Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. how do you need to repent? Because maybe you need to forgive that person, right? Or maybe there's a step of reconciliation that you need to take in that, and we want to encourage them. So what is God calling you to mm-hmm. do in this? Mm-hmm. Not just venting about your spouse or venting about right. your parents. Like, you know, that can only go so long. And then how is God calling you to respond? What is he calling you to do? And we want to help people to make that turn, to take that personal responsibility.
And I do want to say, people might feel a little overwhelmed because there's so much brokenness mm-hmm. or there's so much that they know that they can do. And so I encourage you this. Just ask them, what is one small thing? Mm-hmm. What is one small thing that you can start doing and putting in God's hand consistently? Pray for that as you break up, and pray. And pray for it specifically. And then encourage each other throughout the week in that one small area, that they can start to trust God to see him redeem their family.
And if you can, and if you know, through this may surface a lot of things. This is going to be, it's kind mm-hmm. of a long series, so we can, you know, unpack it systematically as we go through. But if you can tell that a person needs more time to chat, you know, that's where a great time, opportunity to set up a one-to-one afterwards and say, hey, let's grab coffee this week. You know, maybe if you're already busy as a leader, maybe ask your apprentice mm-hmm. or someone else, hey, can you take so-and-so out to coffee and just let them unpack a little bit more.
Yep.
The more people talk about it, let the air out of the balloon, as it were, the better. And so this will kind of start that conversation, but there may need to be future conversations on the side, maybe one-offs that'll help person unpack more.
Yeah.
And the whole reason why this is important, again, is if our families are getting healthier, then we're in a better position to help other people. If our families are falling apart and we're barely mm-hmm. keeping our heads above water, it's going to be really hard to help others. But I'm convinced that as we draw close to Jesus and we let him and make him be the center of our families and our lives, mm-hmm. then health will come and we'll be able to be a blessing to the people all around us. So this is going to be a great series.
It is.
I'm looking forward to it.
Me too.
And leaders, let's get ready to love on people and create space for people to grow closer to Jesus, because that's ultimately the goal. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for leading. Thank you for all that you do. Have a great small group, and you'll hear from us next week.
God bless you. Thank you.